Buenos días. Hey, doing real well. Feliz Navidad is what we would say. Excellent. So good to be here, to be able to share with you this morning the first hour. That was wonderful. In fact, some of the passages I was going to speak on, I thought, man, I won't have to speak at 11 o'clock. We can just sing Christmas carols all the time, right? But I'm so glad to be here and to thank you for your part in the ministry in Bolivia and South America. Let me just tell you about the school. I know many of you have been following the school for 60 years, because that's how long the school's been in existence, in Camiri. My folks left from here in 52. I was born in 53, so do the math. And you got me tagged, right? Anyhow, the school had 24 graduates this year and 350 students. Last year, I was very, very concerned and almost at the point of throwing in the towel. Because of the great debt that the government was demanding of $60,000 and the threat of the government. I was on a trip. In fact, I was in Spain giving a seminar over in Europe, and I get this email saying the government's going to close the school in 3 days and going to put the principal in jail until you pay the $60,000. Well, guess what? I didn't sleep that night. You understand, right? Did not sleep that night. But God is great. God is good. God is good. As they all say, God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. And He is. Somebody, well, we had some money to pay. Somebody saw it in CMML magazine, my letter. And don't know the person. He goes to some assembly over on the East Coast and decided, I'll pay the debt. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sold a few cattle and sent the money, right? So we're thankful for that. Does that mean that everything is swell? Well, it's getting better. The Lord has sent an administrator from the assemblies in another city, experienced in school administration, and the school seems to be taking off again. The parents are very confident that there is direction and there is a real goals to training their children. So we are praying for 370 students. It was a miracle this year. It was 350. But we're praying for 20 more next year, Lord willing, and you can pray with us about that. Lord willing, I would like to see, put it in your prayer, bucket or whatever you call it. Pray that we can establish a board. I would love to establish a board within the next 2 years so we can transition and it will become a Bolivian school for sure. We would love to see that. And so we are just asking the Lord in His time. Amen. He does things right and perfect in His time. I get in a hurry, too much in a hurry so many times. So pray with us about that. Meanwhile, I've been many, many places this year giving seminars to leadership from across the board, many different denominations. And the Lord has taken me to a number of countries, including Equatorial Guinea in Africa and Spain. I'll be back to Spain in a few months, the Lord willing, to give some more seminars on marriage and the family as counseling and also on the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. A time when we get together for 2.5 days, give him one of these with leather bound Bible, and we spend time studying about intimacy with God for the first day. How to study the Bible. What does it say and why does it say it? Two questions out of the five in inductive Bible study. Two. What and why? And we studied that, and people have left from there saying, wow, I didn't know the Bible said so much. I just came from Chile, where we had a seminar, and there was a guy, he says, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been a leader in my church all my life. But I didn't know how to study the Bible until now. And so the privilege is just wonderful to be able to share God's Word with so many people who have not had the chance to study His Word. What do I consider the call of the Lord on my life at this time? That is to shepherd the shepherds. And that is my main job at this time. Going around trying to help people, number one, have an intimacy with God. Number two, have strong marriages. We minister from a strong marriage. We don't go the other way. We don't have a ministry and therefore we have a marriage. But we go from a strong marriage relationship and minister from there. So that's what the Lord has for us, and I have a whole slew of seminars coming up this year, and I'm going to be in six different countries giving these seminars. So if the Lord lays it on your heart and you want to pray for us, please feel free to do so. The Lord uses many of you as you pray and you stand with us in prayer and giving as the Lord lays it on your heart. Well, that was the propaganda. I better get into my message here because don't want to get to supper and we're still giving you a message, right? No, don't worry. I'll be done at 12. One of the last words to be added to the Oxford Dictionary the last few days is post-truth. Post-truth. What does post-truth really mean? Well, it's an adjective relating or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal beliefs. Post-truth. In other words, it means what you believe, that's okay for you. Doesn't mean I have to believe that. We're real different. So I'm just going to stick with mine and you stick with yours. There is no objective way of measuring truth. That's what the world is into today. Postmodern, for sure. And I won't get into that, but when you start talking about absolute truth and people saying, I'm not sure there is an absolute truth. Well, that's an absolute truth right there. That's what you're going to declare. So, we need to rethink. We need to be clear on our thinking and realize that this still remains what we measure truth by for sure. These days, a lot of things have been said. Many of them we don't believe, right? We don't believe a lot of things because we know that they were evangelistic. Evangelistic. You know what I mean? That this was done or this wasn't done and this was happened and this didn't happen and so forth. Who can believe? Do we believe that in January, I think it's the 20th or 18th, anyhow, whenever the transition takes place, do you think there's going to be great changes? Well, probably not too much. But in any case, what will stand forever? I believe we need to be encouraged. Our brother prayed that we would be encouraged through his word today. And I believe the Lord has put a message of encouragement on my heart, because he wants me to give it to you today. Let's go back to Isaiah. We were already given a little taste of Isaiah chapter 40. So please go there. I'm going to be speaking of that wonderful passage in Isaiah today. And, I thought, okay, all right. And then Micah was referred to. I'm going to refer to Micah too. So anyhow, you got a foretaste of what we're going to be saying. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is a wonderful prophet. All of them were wonderful, right? All of them were great prophets. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. In fact, there were four of them that were together. Isaiah, pretty savvy guy. And he wrote a tremendous book, for sure. Some say that from chapter 40 on, it should be called 2nd Isaiah. Let's just leave it like it is. Let's not argue about it. But the Word of God was written for your encouragement, my encouragement, your exhortation, and my exhortation this morning. The first 39 chapters, not real positive. You can read them for sure. Exhortation about coming back to the Lord. Just starting in chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, it talks about people calling the bad good and the good bad, the dark light and the light dark, and so forth. Consequently, we have the book of Isaiah and what was going to happen to them. You also need to deal with chapter 40 of Isaiah. You need to go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and verse, 15 and on. Verse 19 says like this. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. In other words, they were facing a pretty tough time. Israel had already been taken into captivity. Now Judah was going to be taken into. And they hadn't gone yet, but the Lord says, this is what's going to happen to you. I want you to know, this is what's going to happen to you. So, this is kind of like a word coming to refugees. You and I have seen the picture of refugees lately. Many. Unfortunately, that our world has become so cruel and so difficult with refugees. When you see refugees, you don't see them saying, oh, I'm going on a holiday tour. They're all crying. Some of them are very, very discouraged. Their face shows that they are having a very difficult time in their life. And that's what was going to happen to these people as they went into captivity. But the Lord sends a message of encouragement. In fact, a voice of encouragement. And I think, we're rounding out the year. Maybe you feel this morning like a refugee. Maybe things haven't gone so well. Maybe the family is not working out like you thought it was going to work out. Finances, education, whatever it may be. Maybe you come this morning to receive a little word from the Lord that He might encourage you. Things are not working out with the kids. You spent many hours teaching them, like I did. Doing a lot of good things, but they're far from here. Brought up in this assembly, far from here. It'd be okay if they were in another church, but they're not even going to church, and you feel so bad. So we all need a word of encouragement. So, open to chapter 40 of Isaiah, please. And I want to show you a word, one word that appears four times. Verse 2, speak, okay? Verse 3, the voice. Verse 6, the voice. Verse 9, a little farther down there in verse 9, lift up your what? Voice. So, apparently he wants us to hear something. The voice, very important. What kind of voice does he want us to hear today? What does he want us to listen to? Number one, the voice of forgiveness, of pardon, for sure. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Comfort Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That is just a wonderful two verses. Comfort. Yes, comfort. I see in these two verses just so much love from the Lord as he speaks so tenderly. In fact, that's the way it should be translated. That's why Eugene Peterson in The Message has translated it, speak softly and tenderly. In Spanish, we say, habla al corazón, to the heart. Habla al corazón. You know enough Spanish to know that corazón is heart, for sure. Habla al corazón, right? Speak to the heart. Now, notice, he doesn't say, speak to those people. He says, my people. Isn't that amazing? Speak to my people. He personalizes it for sure. And what tone? So tenderly. Why? Because he goes deeper than just the physical, than just the sociological. He goes deeper. He says, they have already received double for their sins. He goes real deep into the heart. Now, that word, comfort. Comfort. Naham in Hebrew. Naham. Great word. Naham. Just remember that. Naham. Naham means that God will restore what has been destroyed. Because of the repentance, God will restore what has been destroyed. He's powerful enough to do that. That's what we were talking about in the Lord's table this morning. That's why in the Latin it was translated, here it says, comfort, comfort. It comes from the Latin confortis, confortis. Con, with, we all know, with, the preposition, with, confortis. What does fortis mean? Power, strength, fortis. With power, with strength, with power. With power, and again I say, with power, encourage and help, and give a word that goes to the heart. Paul says, God is the Father of compassion and the God of all what? Come on, people. Of comfort, of all comfort, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we were reminded of that this morning, and how the Lord delights to see His dear ones in His presence for sure. He says, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye. Then if you read verse 4 in 2 Corinthians 1, 4, it says, who comforts us, and I like this, in all, no exceptions, all of our troubles. I like that. Does that encourage you today? He comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. You know, the Lord has encouraged our hearts through your ministry for sure, through your faithfulness and standing with us in these different ministries as we have been in Bolivia and around Latin America. Thank you for doing that. The Lord has comforted us through your ministry for sure. But when we come back to Isaiah, why are they to be comforted? Well, let's just read it again. The last part. It says, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double for all her sins. Where do we get something that will help us get a handle on that? Well, when somebody stole something, they were supposed to pay double in return. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, if I am not mistaken. They were supposed to return double amount of what they had taken. But let's just go to Isaiah chapter 61. Would you accompany me? Chapter 61 and verse 7. In verse 7. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. And we will find out another application of this doubleness, for sure. It says, Isaiah 61, verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have what? Double honor. Wow, that's wonderful. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Does that encourage you? Absolutely. Absolutely. What a wonderful thing to know that in Jesus, all has been paid. Nothing. What happened, what is happening, and what may happen in the future, it's all paid. It's all canceled. Debt free. We have a hard time believing that, don't we? We struggle with our own problems and our own issues in our own life. So, if we again remember Micah 7. Micah 7 is a wonderful passage. If you read it in a modern translation, you're thinking that you're reading the newspaper this morning. It says, the children will go against the parents and the daughter-in-law. Well, I won't get into all that. But there's going to be conflict in the family. There's going to be social conflict for sure in the first six verses. And then comes the verse that our brother read, verse 7. But let me just jump because there's a whole lot of stuff there to say. But verse 18, again, I want to read what he read this morning. Who is God like you? Who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. You do not stay angry forever. Hallelujah. But, this is the key word, you delight to show mercy. Delight to show mercy. Do you know that God loves to love you? Loves to show mercy. Loves to show grace. Hallelujah. He is the one who came down. And I thought while we were in the Lord's table this morning, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting love, everlasting life. What a wonderful verse. But verse 19, I got to go to verse 19. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Now, I'm going to bring up a thing in history, not very nice. So I'm not bringing it up because I think it's okay. It's very sad. MH-307. The plane that went down, the Indonesian plane that went down about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. They've been looking for that one. The relatives want an answer, so they've been looking. And they've gone real deep, so deep that they couldn't even send a submarine. So they're sending some other instrument down there to scour the bottom of the sea over 4,000 feet in depth where that airplane might have gone down. Now, they might find the plane. And I hope they do. They might find it. But you know what? Nobody will find your sins again. Does that encourage you? Now, does that just start you off on a good week? The Lord has hurled all our sins into the bottom of the sea to never, never find them again. Somebody says, and he's put a sign up, you can't fish here. I'm thinking in Spanish right now, right? So you can't go fishing for your sins for sure, right? Prohibido pescar, right? You can't fish again. Okay, let's go on to the second voice real fast. Verse 3. I'm going back to Isaiah 40, verse 3, 4, and 5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You're going to hear this verse because John said it. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. And every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If the first voice was a pardon, this one, somebody has says, is a providence of conviction, for sure. Now, they were not going to have a smooth return. It was going to be tough. In fact, all the years they were going to be in captivity were going to be tough. They were going to be very, very, very difficult. But the Lord says, I'm going to make the crooked straight, the high, low, and the low. I'm going to bring it up to where it needs to be. The Lord, it's going to deal in our desert times. Did you notice? It says, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. Now we all know what protocol is all about. When the president goes someplace, he spends a lot of money. For sure. Okay, we won't talk about that. But lots of money, right? Lots and lots of money. And the best place, best food, best accommodations, everything. It says, you who are in the deserts, in the desert, what is your desert today? What kept you up last night? I hope it wasn't food, but what kept you up last night? What was on your mind that didn't allow you to go to sleep? The desert. He says, in your desert, I will come. And I will help you. I will deal with it. A few weeks ago, saw a gentleman in the audience. I could tell he was a visitor in our church. He wasn't a happy camper, for sure. So at the end, when I made an invitation, he came forward. So we started talking about why he had come forward. And he told me of all the struggle, emotional struggle, and all the dysfunction in his life, and all the difficulty in his life. He says, I can't sleep at night. And when I go to work, this attack comes to me and I start shaking. I'm so fearful. I don't know what's going to happen. So I said, Waldo, we need a little help from our medical doctor here too. We can't take care of it all. Please, I want you to see this medical doctor, and he's going to help you on that side, but I'll help you on this side. So he came for counseling. I had several counseling sessions with him and his wife, Roxana. And one day he said to me, so when can I receive Jesus? Oh, well, I'm sorry, I haven't brought you on board up to now. And I read John 3:16 to him. You know what he said to me? I have never heard that read to me before. I have never heard that verse. Can you imagine 2:16? the month of October, and there's somebody still in the world who hasn't heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's why we need to preach. That's why we need to get out and share Jesus with people. Because there's mountains, there's valleys, there's crooked paths. The Lord wants to touch lives for sure. Well, real quickly, verse 6 to 8. Let's go back to Isaiah 6 to 8. This is real to this morning. It says, the voice said, cry out. In other words, do it seriously. Cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh. All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord, the Ruah of the Lord, blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen? Yeah, hey man, let's have a little participation. That's okay, right? It's all right to say amen. Because that is amen. That's the voice of the Lord. His word stands forever. You know, a lot of personalities come and go. Some of them a little more, and some of them a little less. Some of them who think they are going to be around forever. Mm-mm. The word of the Lord says they won't be around forever. You and I won't be around forever. Think of this. The experts say that 5 years after you're gone, very few people will remember you. How many met their great grandparents? Put your hand up. I won't. Okay. This is a pretty big crowd. Okay. How many of you know where your great grandparents are buried? Okay. Less hands, right? Yeah. 5 years after we're gone, very few people will remember us. Unfortunately, we spend too much time in what will stay behind, instead of investing in what is eternal. What is eternal? He says, cry out that your life is not forever. Cry out that we need to base our life on the Word of God. You've probably heard the illustration of the little boy that went into the metal worker's shop. And he saw him pounding away. And he says, aren't you afraid that the anvil is going to come apart? And he says, there's lots of hammers that have wasted away, but the anvil still stays. Here it is. This is the anvil. Year after year. Century after century. Millennia after millennia. And yet the word of God stands forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will stand eternity. That's why we invest our time in teaching people, how can I learn from this word? Not just read it. It's not just cognitive. Because cognitive, that brings a lot of pride. But when I study it, and I keep it in my heart. That's why I'm so for Awana. Tuesday night, Wednesday night? Going to get together for goodies, but not for memorization of the word. Well, right? Trust, that will be only one night, right? I do believe in memorization. Man, I do believe that. I'm real sorry about this phone stuff, you know, and the Bible on the phone. That's okay. I mean, that's a quickie. That's all right. But if it isn't in your heart, you're not going to remember. You're not even going to know that it's around. So we need to teach memorization of verses for sure. Okay, got preaching there. Man. Number 4. Here we go. First, forgiveness. Second, we We have providence. And number three, we have the promise that His word will stand forever. Number four, we have peace. And I want to get now to the verses that were read in the Lord's table. Wonderful verses. In fact, we talk about them a lot in our seminars. Verse 9 says, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains of Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Don't quote it, in other words. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Verse 10, power says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong arm or strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. And I think this is one of the best passages in the Old Testament. Verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. Think about that. He will gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Four things. Feed them. Take care of them. Pick them up in His arms. Maybe you're here today and you say, Lord, I just can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. I don't know what to do. All you need to do is say, Lord, would you pick me up, please? You remember when you were a child? Or if you've had children, like we have, you pick them up. You don't scold them when they don't want to walk. You pick them up. They're crying. And Jesus will do that for you today. He will pick you up and will carry you, take you so close to His heart, in His long arms. Again, if I may refer to Eugene Peterson, he says, hugging them. I love that. Hugging them. Hugging them. You want to be hugged by the Lord today? You want to feel His heart. Boom, 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 boom. Listen to the heartbeat of God. He will feed you, pick you up, take you to his heart. And number four, He will deal so sweetly with each one of us. So much to be said about those verses. A lot. Wonderful passage. I'd love to go into 12 and on what our brother read, for sure, but time's up. Let me give you a story that I heard from a good Indian brother, wonderful preacher. Maybe some of my Indian brothers and sisters here know him. Samuel Kamalisan. I heard him tell this wonderful story. I'm going to adapt it to the Bolivian, okay, because it's just a story. But it has a good message. A potter went into his shop one day, and there were three mounds of earth, of clay. So he was going to work them over. So he goes to the first mound. The first mound says, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me. Don't want you to touch me. I know I have all this bad stuff. I have all this hard stuff in me. But please don't touch me. I don't want you to touch me. Please leave me alone. The potter, very discouraged, goes on to the second mound. Second mound says, see, this is in Bolivia. He says, if you're going to do something with me, please make me green llamas. Green llamas. Why green llamas? Because tourists will come. They'll say, green llamas. We've never heard of green llamas. So they'll buy me and take me to Europe. They'll take me to the United States. They'll take me to Canada. They'll take me to Japan. They'll take me all over the world. And I'll be put on the shelf. And people say, green llamas. but of no consequence. Only on the shelf. The potter said, no, don't want to do that. My way or no way. So he went to the third mound of clay. Third mound of clay said, please make me like your son. Like your son? How do you know my son? Says, well, he came into the shop a little while ago and I'd like to be like him. Well, he says, do you know what it's going to take to be like my son? No. He says, I'm going to have to work you over. I'm going to have to get those hard spots out. I'm going to roll you. I'm going to put you in a pan. And I'm going to turn up the heat in the oven. I will cut you with a knife. Open the door of the oven. We'll put you in. And when it's really hot, you're going to think, man, I can't take this. This is too hot. I can't take it anymore. Just remember, that's when it's time. I will open the door, pull you out, and you will be like my son. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Christmas won't be Christmas. A lot of sadness. A lot of difficulty. Maybe you're in that oven right now. And the Lord is just dealing so deeply. And, oh, Lord. When it's time, He will open the door. You'll come out. And you will be like your son. Perhaps you've come here today and you don't know Jesus. You don't know why you're here. Jesus does. God does. He brought you here. You didn't know what kind of message you were going to hear. But the Lord brought you. And you say, man, how can I have that comfort? How can I have that comfortis? How can I have that comfort? All you got to do, it says, I stand at your door and knock. You just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Know you died for me. Would you pick me up in your arms? And He will do so. He will do so. He wants to do so. He delights in mercy. Oh, you don't know what I've done. That's right. God knows. God knows. He delights in mercy. And today you can have Jesus. Not in a manger, but in your heart. Will you bow your head? Father, thank you for bringing us together to hear your words from Isaiah today. Thank you, Lord, that you will build up that what has been destroyed. And that the voices that you will make the crooked straight and the high low and the low you will bring up, Lord. Thank you that we can trust not a political system, not a man, but we can trust your word. For it will stand forever. The test of time will, Lord, your word will still be around. And thank you, Lord, that when we feel like refugees, you will pick us up. You will carry us in your heart, your arms close to your heart, and deal with us tenderly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word this morning, through the symbols of the bread and the wine. And Lord, through your Spirit, we just thank you and pray that as we look at another week, instead of looking at all the difficulties, we might delight in you because you are our Savior. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.